Yes, good job. Huh? I'm not quite sure we would want to do baptisms in the river like that. Suddenly, it's not quite as clean as it was there. They didn't actually tell us until afterwards that there were both hippopotamus and crocodile just slightly further down the river, which we're grateful for because actually it was a great experience and we had lots of fun just doing that and then again back to the base. The interesting thing, the other thing that they gave us the opportunity to do was on the Saturday, the Friday night, the night that we were there after the baptisms, we came back into the town and we actually kind of showed, we had the opportunity to give testimonies and so on, and they gave me the opportunity to preach. I've never had the opportunity to preach in a bush outreach before, and it's just phenomenal. You know, you're preaching with this guy translating and, you know, hoping that he's saying something good because you're not sure that you're sort of very, you know, you're not very sure what's going on, but he's going for it anyway. And just calling people to come, you know, to the simple gospel. Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus has come to give you life. Jesus has come to give you hope. Jesus has come to give you everything that you need. Are you desperate? Are you hungry? Are you passionate? Come to Jesus. And then just simply saying, come forward now and we'll pray for you. And this whole, you know, it felt like the whole crowd, and there were hundreds of them, just all stood and came forward to receive Jesus. Just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Next morning, we were able to bless the pastor and the new pastors who were going to be in the church there, and to dedicate the church building that was going to be there as well. And then back in the van, and back wonderfully, I don't know how this happened, I think we prayed, and you know, God was gracious, so it took us 7 hours to get home. I don't know how that happened anyway. But anyway, that was us, so bumping our way back, and everyone else on a rather uncomfortable looking bench, and Tam on an airbed, bouncing along, rather happy with himself. Shh, don't say anything about that. Okay, right, anyway, so we go back to the base and get opportunities. This is Derek preaching and sharing testimony. This is the Bible school, so this is years 1 through 4 of the Bible school, and again, just such a privilege. You know, they are just hungry for God and want more from God, and so they were happy to hear and to kind of receive from us as well. And then finally, just be prayed for and being sent back out again. The guys there honor guests. They have a lovely hospitality and a welcome amongst them, and as they go, they send people out with a real blessing. And you know, we experienced something of that as well. And so that's a wee bit of a story. And I want you guys just kind of come and give a few minutes, just a minute or two, Tam, of testimonies. So do you want to come out, guys, and just share just something that you felt that would be appropriate and encouraging? There we go. Right, Derek, you can start.
Yeah, before I went to Mozambique, the one thing that I felt that God was leading me towards was to do with simplicity, simplicity of the gospel. And it was there, certainly. It was truly amazing in that it doesn't matter how complicated your sermons can be or anything else, the simplicity of God's love is just amazing. It doesn't need to be complicated. And just when obviously there's a slide of me just giving a bit of my testimony of why, how God moved us, me and Julie, up to Glasgow. It was something that obviously they relate to because God had been moving them, leaving their family, leaving their villages for 3 months, for 5 years, and the cost of that to them is incredible. But they do it joyously, and I'm not sure who actually received more blessing, us or them, because their blessing to us was just awesome as well.
Hi, I think for me it was just awesome again. Different for last year and experienced it. Was just amazing what God was doing and saying, and we came back and we're just kind of processing stuff. So this year it was totally amazing, totally different again. For me personally, again, it was more like what God was doing for, you know, speaking to me about, even amongst all the, you know, meeting all the guys that I met before and the different things. I didn't go to the hospital or the prisons this time, but we did minister to the kids, and, you know, we took meetings and stuff. But for me, you know, it's hard to really explain the fact that, you know, we are here and we've got everything and they've got nothing. And really, God was speaking to me about personal stuff between me and God. Before I got there, me and Alan were having chats, and Alan, we spoke about a book called Overcoming Your Shadow Mission, and it really kind of shocked me. I haven't really finished this book. Basically, it was talking about anything that distracts you from God's purpose and plan and vision and calling in your life. And I was reading that, and I was like, wow, it was so much, you know. It reminded me when I first got saved and nothing was before God. And I thought, you know what, God, okay. It was quite interesting and strange because I was using my mobile quite a bit. And I was saying to the guys, it was one day I got totally cut off. And I was saying to the guys, I thought, you might find this funny, but it's not really. And it was like, I'm saying to God, okay, God, so you want my attention, so... But even like the baptisms and stuff, a guy was talking about, he was 24 years in the Air Force, and he was one of the kind of leaders with Iris Ministries, and he was in outreach, and 5 deaf people, God healed them. And I was like, wow, because you know I love the sign language and I work with deaf people, and I'm thinking, wow. And he said, what was amazing about that was that it wasn't 1 or 2, it was 5. And the people in the village, the chiefs and the leaders were saying, we are not following any other religion or any other faith or the Muslim faith. We're now going to follow Christ. And I thought, wow. So that was just some of the things. But I'm just going to pass on because we're still obviously processing things. But amen.
The thing that struck me the most was God's generosity and how powerful his love is. It's more powerful than any of us can ever imagine. And yeah, that was really significant for me.
I think for me, I've got an awful, awful lot to process. Still an awful lot to process about what God's saying to me personally and it all, but I could tell you stories of amazing things that happened, but I feel what I have to share this morning is the thing that struck me probably most and is still working on me is the whole culture of living a sacrificial lifestyle and laying down your life for the sake of the gospel. It didn't matter whether it was the Harvest School students, because we saw Harvest School students come from many, many nations in the world, and I saw families come with babies and children and everything, and they had sacrificed a lot, and they were living in very, very, very basic conditions on base. They sacrificed a lot of the materialistic stuff and a lot of stuff, and they were going... They were having their children there for 3 months. That's a risk. Babies and young children there for 3 months in some of the conditions which are not very hygienic and are not very sanitary. It's a huge risk. From those people to the people who were coming to 5 years of school of ministry, and some of them, their wives or their husbands saying, if you go to that school of ministry, I won't be here when you come back. I'm going, and they leave and they go with somebody else. To the staff on base that live sacrificial lifestyles, that go out in these rough conditions. I mean, those 10 hours in that van is indescribable, and the journey and the things, but not one, you know, no complaint, nothing like that, and out there to reach people way out in the bush that have never heard the gospel before sometimes. The sacrificial lifestyle, the laying down of your lives for the sake of the gospel, and it really, really challenged me that sometimes here in the West, we are so consumeristic-minded, even even in church. So it's all about us and what we can get and what can we receive for God and what can we get in church. And it's all about me, me, me and what we can get. And this was so total opposite of culture, total opposite, sacrificial, laying down your life, letting go of everything. I met a girl who had worked in Irispace Global, who was an interpreter for us, who's 7 years in Brazil and had not been home to see our mother and father in America because of legalistic conditions. She would be deported. And 7 years working in missions in Brazil, and she was working with prostitutes, drug addicts and everything. And do you know what she said to me? It's okay. It doesn't matter that I've not seen, been with my family for 7 years. And I just thought, what? You know, it just blew my mind.
For me was, I never had Africa in my heart. I had no desire, never dreamt of it, nothing. So for me to be invited, and I just felt that God was on it. It felt uncomfortable, but I felt that I had to go. There's something divine that's going to take place. So I was just looking forward to it, expecting, I don't know what to expect, but just went with the flow. And when I got there, what really touched me was the hunger they had, each and every single person. They were hungry, so hungry, they were starving, you know. They were waiting for God, and they were waiting for God to move in an unexpected way. They were expecting new things, unimaginable, impossible things to happen. Just the hunger, it really struck me and really shook me to the core. And just now I'm back here, I feel expanded. The capacity of what I can give away has expanded, and just having the desire to go after God even more, just hunger after God than ever before, just, you know, lay it down. So, yeah, that's been amazing.